I'm Ninja Sister.
And I'm Pandalicious.
And this
is the Eshcast.
This is Electric Sisterhood, podcast episode number 576. Tom Clancy's still dead, but the division lives on. This is Electric Sisterhood, home of the original.
The fucking original.
Girl gaming, tech gadget, and anime podcast. I am Ninja Sister.
And I'm Pandalicious.
Welcome to a brand new episode of our weekly podcast. Panda, I'm back!
I know, you're back, yay!
Yay!
I'm so happy.
I'm like, at like 87% back. That's a high B.
That's a B plus.
That's what I mean, that's a high B.
I'm so glad.
So, I really want to say to our community that I appreciate you guys so much sticking it out with us while I've been going through the travails of having a home, not having a home. I am finally moved back into my house. Yay!
Yay!
I am at the Casa de Esh once again.
Yay!
Most important out of that is that I'm back on my bandwidth, because, woo! Let me tell you.
It was
that,
rough.
That hotel
rough at the,
Wi-Fi.
That Marriott.
You know, here's the thing. The Marriott's super nice, okay? And I gotta say, everybody at the Residence Inn in Danvers, if you gotta come to Massachusetts and you have a choice of where you gotta stay, definitely stay there. Their staff is fantastic. They're amazing people. But it still is hotel Wi-Fi. Like, they didn't have a direct connect. So when you're used to having an average of over 250 meg down... when you go and you get like five, I mean, it's definitely, it's like so first world problems, but it is a problem.
Well, I mean, yeah.
It's a problem. True. At least the way that I use the bandwidths. So, it is really good to be back on my Wi-Fi. I will say that the team was great, and they helped me get my Apple TV and my Xbox on the Wi-Fi system so I could play some games and stuff while I was out of my home. But it's just nice to be back on, you know, my setup. Plus, their TVs are a little small. They're getting ready to do a renovation, so I'm hoping that one of the things that they do is they put better TVs. Because, let me tell you, when you're used to, again, more first world problems, when you're used to a 65-inch television set... When you go back to a 32-inch TV set that has, like, a 3-inch bezel, you're kind of like,
hey, don't be judging.
No, I'm not judging.
Tiny
I'm saying
TVs.
I'm really, really appreciative to be back in my space.
Because, you know, it's not, at not all of us live the 60-plus, you know, screen life.
Like, yeah, but you're living the 60-plus screen life.
Well, my husband has a 60-inch TV.
Yes, but you have a 60-inch TV.
Well,
we live in the same place.
Yes, we live in the same house. However,
and you're both in the same living room.
Not all the time, because sometimes when we're playing co-player
TV
PS4 games, I have to go back to our study where my 27-inch is sitting. Yep. So I often go back to the simple days, and I appreciate it sometimes. So,
I'm not talking about split screen life. I'm talking about only screen
life. I'm not. No, this is not split screen. Like, I'm in a separate room. Like, when we're playing Monster Hunter, and I'm on a 27-inch TV, and he's over in the living room on the 60.
Yeah.
I think
so what you're saying is you need a bigger TV in your office?
I don't think it would fit in the studio, like, in the desk setup that we have. I don't think it would work. But I like my 27-inch TV. Like, I bought it with my money.
Yes, yeah, like, your TV. It's your stuff.
Right. I earned this.
Right.
This 27 inches is all me, brah.
Right. It's all you.
All
you
me.
You made that happen. You
I
made
did.
That happen.
I did it.
You did that.
I did it.
Yeah. So I'm back in my space, which means we will be back to regular recording schedule. Huzzah.
Yep.
Because it's been a little rough. which is why we had a couple of weeks where we had to go a little deep on either not doing a show or doing a clip show, but we are back, and man, there's just so much to talk about. First and foremost, you're going to see it on our site here pretty soon. Probably by the time that you see this podcast episode up on the site, you'll see the post. But our homies over at Gamertag Radio, I've got to give them so much love and a huge shout out. I'm so proud of all of the guys, Peter, Danny, Paris, like everybody that's involved in that organization. I don't know if you've had a chance yet, sis, but they released earlier, I was going to say earlier in the month, but it was actually at the end of February, on February 25th, they released a documentary on Twitch. And you can watch the whole thing. Yep, you can watch the whole thing for free on YouTube as well, called Gamertag Radio, a podcast documentary. And it is basically a little bit under an hour and 20 long documentary of how Gamertag Radio came to be, from the start of just doing community events and Danny remixing videos and making beats and rhymes with friends, to the community events, to becoming, you know, I think probably one of the earliest, if not one of the first podcasts that was out there that was done by an independent about video game culture. And it's really fantastically done. I cannot tip my hat enough because Danny Godfrey from Gamertag Radio edited, put the whole thing together. It's his love letter to podcasting and the industry, and it is just done so well. You really got to take a look at it. Even if you're not into gaming, it's just a really great documentary about how a podcast came to be and how they can grow and the work that you have to do and the effort, and just, it's fantastic to watch. So if you haven't checked it out, please make sure that you do. We'll have it post up on our site that you can, I'll embed the YouTube video in so you can check it out, but definitely check it out. It is, it's phenomenal. Like, it's one of those things where you see it and it just reminds you of all the good things and all the reasons why you should love our community and you should love independent content creators and you should love and even if you don't love, at least appreciate the hustle and the grind of podcast creators, content creators, and just creatives in general. For me, it kind of restoreth my soul for a hot second, because, you know, I was getting real salty.
I know you were for a while there.
With the industry, especially because, you know, between the highlight during Black History Month on specifically Black female content creators and podcasters, and not even so much as an email about, hey, would we like to be involved? I got a little salty about that, especially because there were a lot of big and small organizations doing those kinds of things. And, like, it would have been nice if Google had called to include us in their thing, because I got, you know, I'm not throwing any shade at Pretty Brown and Nerdy, but we're older.
Right.
So, like, an email would have been nice, even if it was just like, we just want to quote, we don't want to see your face. That would have been nice. And then Facebook,
it's like, just give us some words of wisdom. We don't want to see your busted ass crusty face.
We don't need to see your crusty faces, because we got Pretty Brown and Nerdy, and they're pretty brown and nerdy. But if you could just give us a quote so that way we can say that we did the due diligence, I would have been less salty.
I'd still be a pretzel with some salt on it.
Yeah, I'd still be a salted pretzel, but I wouldn't be like a real salty pretzel.
Right.
You know, like the kind that you kind of have to scrape some of the salt off because you're like, oh, Jesus.
That's too much salt.
Right.
Yeah.
No, I'd just be a regular pretzel. You'd be like, that's the right amount of salt. But that didn't happen. So I was a salty ass pretzel. And then this month, which is Women's History Month, Facebook, as part of their Lean In initiative, is doing this whole, you know, thing on women specifically in the video game industry. And yet again, like, even Hip Hop Gamer tagged me on a post with a bunch of other female content creators who were also not reached out to, and was like, y'all see this shit? And I was like, of course I see this shit. So I'm just salty. I was real salty. I was getting even more salty. And I was like, damn it. You're claiming my time. I was getting real, real salty, especially because it was on the heels of seeing Black Panther. So I was just like pro black.
You were ready to get on that soapbox.
I was just like, we are here. but then I watched the documentary, and it really did refill my soul and remind me that we do this not for recognition. Recognition is nice. But we do this because we enjoy talking to each other about video games and anime, and it seems like a few of you out there enjoy our wacky little conversations with each other about video games and anime, and we're just going to keep doing it till we just don't enjoy it anymore. And that's cool, because, man oh man, we get to do this every week.
Yep.
And we get to go to some really great shows and be part of the community, be seen, be heard, you know, all of the people that we know in the industry have always treated us with respect.
Yep.
I can't really ask for more, right? And,
yep, right.
And do not get it confused, okay? Especially for people that are coming up. Respect isn't, I'll give you free stuff. Respect is, I'll give you time.
Yeah.
Because the early days, man, we couldn't get appointments, we couldn't get emails, we couldn't get responses. There isn't anyone that doesn't respond to us anymore, except for Sony. There isn't anyone that doesn't respond to us anymore. There isn't anyone that doesn't at least give us time, that doesn't at least send us press release and press kits so that we can evaluate stuff and have access to more things. And, you know, that says a lot. And it's because of the hard work that everybody here at the team has put in. You know, all of our content creators, our producer, like everybody. So I just want to take a moment and say, you know, now that we're back, it's really good to be back. I feel really good coming back right now. Less salty 2018.
Drink more water, less sodium, more electrolytes.
Loso 2018. Loso 2018.
Which I find is really funny that you bring this up, because literally I just downed like 3 hot dogs and they were like the saltiest fucking hot dogs. It's like, yep. Starting it off right. Bunch of hot dogs in the face.
That's what you gotta do. That's what you gotta do. You know, I may have to roll to the Sonic after this, because now I want hot dogs and a cherry limeade. So, with that being said, it feels really good to be back. Thank you so much for sticking with us through all of this stuff and engaging with us on social and letting us know some of the things that you're interested in hearing us talk about. I gotta say that it was kind of like the perfect timing to see the documentary and to fall back in love with podcasting and what it is that we do. Because for a while there, I was really like, maybe I gotta let this go.
I mean, don't get me wrong. I've had instances in my mind where I was like, you know, maybe we could take a hiatus and like refresh and like maybe take like a sabbatical, maybe go to like a retreat and sweat it out, maybe. Because, you know, there's sometimes
see if a message is revealed in the smoke.
Sort of. But, you know, we've been doing this for such a long time. And, I mean, we've never taken, like, a break to come back and refresh. And, yeah. I mean, I know I have had moments where I'm like, I feel completely burnt out. I could use, like, a break. And, I mean, and I don't mean, like, oh, just 1 week. Like, you know, when we've had life events come in that have taken us, like, away for, like, a while, I would come back with this new sense of, oh, my God, I can't wait to talk to everybody about the things that I've experienced while I haven't been talking about it in a day-to-day fashion. And, I mean, our lives are changing. We're adult, like, we're so much more adults now. Yeah,
I definitely adulted way more in the last 2 months than I have, really, in the last 12 years.
I'm just saying, when we've done our, you know, looking back 10 years from now, like before, like clearly we are both two very different women now.
Yes.
With a lot of other things going on in our lives. And I'm like, you know, like it makes me give, you know, I have so much more respect and credit for our other friends who do podcasting, who have families and run businesses and, you know, whatever else they do, mountain climb Mount Everest on the weekend. Like, there's so much credit for people who are able to have this slice of their life not be their everyday. You know what I'm saying?
Mm-hmm.
And I mean, like, and there's sacrifices that are being made that, you know, you don't really get to hear on a show unless someone decides they want to open their big mouth about it.
Right.
You know, and I mean, but life changes and life continues whether or not, like, we log on and we do a show. And I mean,
life finds a way.
life finds a way. And, but yeah, I've had those moments too where I was like, you know, if we like took a month off, like a complete month off, like I would not be mad. And I would probably, I wouldn't be. I mean, I'm just going to be honest and real. But I mean, I know that after that month or however long this fake hypothetical sabbatical would be, that I would be like, oh my God, I played all these things while I was away. And now I want to talk to sis about this. Now I want to talk to sis about that. Now I want to, like, I would have so many new things as opposed to me, like, going through all the email. Like, I think I would be going back at it like a teenager going on a first date, as opposed to, oh, this is date night every week. I see my sister. Right. You know, like, right. It would feel less routine. Like, it would feel a little spontaneous, with a little spice in there. Ooh, I don't know. But I mean, like,
are you saying we need to spice up the relationship?
Well, I mean, we've been doing this for how long now?
Well, next month it'll be, what, 12 years on the dot? Yeah.
It's like, you know, April missionary for 12 years is good, but doggy could happen once in a while, you know? Like,
oh, Dip, you went there.
I did. All right, no. Okay. You know, vanilla ice cream for 12 years is delicious, but sometimes you need some chocolate.
Basically, you know? Well, here's the thing. You may get your sabbatical wish because, you know, one of the things that has been on the back burner is a project that you and I have talked about involving some of our friends. And I do want to take some time this summer to actually get the foundation underneath that. So you may actually get your sabbatical wish because we may take some time after E3 off.
To do the thing.
So that may be coming. And I also think in doing the thing that there'll also be some refreshing because it's going to be completely different than Ash.
The perspective would be completely different.
It's completely different.
From a different
angle. The whole thing is so different. So, you know, that's probably going to happen. But for now, there's all kinds of stuff that we got to talk about. And man, oh man, it's going to be hard to cram it all into this episode. So we're going to have to be like really mindful to try to not do that. Because I mean, we haven't talked about Black Panther together.
Well, I mean, like we talked about like how we felt seeing it, but we didn't actually talk about it.
And I
because I think we wanted to give people enough time to go and see it themselves, so that we're not taking away from.
But like we haven't gotten into that, you know, Wrinkle in Time,
which I haven't seen yet. I have not seen Wrinkle in Time.
I haven't seen it yet. I haven't seen it yet. But like that's upon us now. With like so many queens in it, it's ridiculous. Like we haven't. There's so much we haven't talked about. Oh my gosh. Okay, so I'm gonna jump right in first because I do that.
Yep, that's fine.
Mostly because I was born.
You got first position. It's all right. I got second position. It's fine.
I feel like I'm just forever player one.
Yeah, I mean when you're born first, you get entitled to some stuff.
You know, there's like a few things that come with the position. Just a few.
I get it. So the floor is yours, sis.
So
go
first
ahead.
Up, I gotta tell you, one of the announcements that I saw this week, because there's like crazy announcements that have been happening this week, and a slew of PAX emails. I'm so hyped for PAX. That's the other reason why I was really glad that I watched the documentary this week and fell back in love with podcasting and kind of the industry, because PAX East is like a month away, less than a month away now.
Yeah,
and
less.
It's like, Oh my god. One of the announcements this week that really caught my attention was from Ubisoft. Oh. And I make no bones about it. You guys know I'm a big fan of the Ubi franchises. There are very few Ubi games that I don't really enjoy. Trackmania is one of them. It's just not a game for me. I appreciate it, but it's just not a game that I go out of my way to play. But I've been down with Assassin's Creed. I even, made it through Unity and stayed loyal. Although I didn't finish Unity because there was no reason to attempt to finish Unity. And by the time they fixed it, I already moved on. But they announced this week that Division 2 is happening.
Okay.
Now, I loved The Division. As you well know, I believe I made you play with me.
Yes, for a hot minute.
Yeah, for a hot minute. And we were having a good time, too. Especially when we're having our friends from Cali join us. in the squad, squowding up, which was dope. But the division, probably for me, the main reason I enjoyed it so much was because it allowed me to have a mission-based shooter with, you know, up to three of my closest. And it allowed me to do multiplayer again in shooter. Because that's really what I do enjoy multiplayer shooter games. But most of the popular ones, their multiplayers are so toxic that unless I can get a group of my friends going, I don't end up having a good experience. Because there are still, you know, issues in the online community with female gamers. Like, there's still a lot of people that, you know, throw out the get in the kitchen and make me a sandwich. And if there is team kill, I get team killed. And that just, you know, it sucks all the fun out of the experience. So I end up avoiding it more times than not. So it was really fun for me to have, you know, a game that was felt very set in the world of Splinter Cell as a group shooter that I had a bunch of my friends playing at the same time. So I could actually do the multiplayer thing. But the single player campaign was just as fine as well. You know, going through the main story of the game is that there's an outbreak that has happened and you are in one of the last zones in New York that hasn't completely fallen and you're trying to suss out how the outbreak happened, what spread it, find ground zero, source of it, to hopefully eradicate it. And while you're doing it, you are an activated sleeper cell, basically, that is now running through the city trying to track down these doctors and these resources, but also helping random individuals that you encounter, stopping gangs of people who are looting, rioting, doing damage to the city and hurting the otherwise non-aggressive people. So it just had a few layers to it. It had decent shooting mechanics. You know, some of the difficulty through the game ramped up pretty quickly. So you would go through a cakewalk mission to a this is ridiculous and not a rage quit mission.
It's like, we're going to make you feel like you got this. And then, no, you don't got this.
Right.
It's hard.
You know, and I appreciated being told, hey, you're too weak to go in this area, so maybe don't go in this area. Oh, you want to go in this area? Bam! Told you! You's too weak! Get that weak-ass shit out of here. Run some side missions with your friends. Go into the dark zone. Get some...
You don't have friends? Make some!
Come back, you pleb! Make some friends, pleb! But I really enjoyed the gaming experience, and it was, I fell off of the game shortly after the first expansion, and it wasn't because I wasn't enjoying the game, but it simply was because there were so many other games that I needed to play so I could review them and talk about them on this podcast, so I kind of went away from it. But I love The Division, and I was really hoping that there would be a Division 2. And so to hear the announcement that from the team that, you know, things went well, they're still planning even more game additions to Division 1 world. It's not done. So there's basically more DLC and some more missions that are coming that are planned specifically for the game. But 2 is happening, and they're going to have more details about 2 at E3 this year. So I was really excited to hear that news. And I'm glad that Ubisoft is staying pretty diversified as far as their games go, you know, because it, and I think we've seen this a few times before with some of the bigger publishers, when they have their kind of kingmaker franchise, they tend to rest their laurels on that kingmaker.
Yeah.
And get a little comfortable.
Too comfortable.
Call of Duty, which I'll talk about in a second. But I'm glad to see that, you know, at UB there's as much attention being placed on the Far Cry franchise as For Honor, as, you know, for Assassins, as for The Division. And I still would like a new Splinter Cell game, though. So I'm just going to put that wish list out there. And then at the same time, you know, Call of Duty 4 was announced, Black Ops. And, you know, I got nothing against the Blops.
Okay.
Okay. I enjoyed Blops 2. I enjoy Blobs 3. Will I play Blobs 4? Probably. Am I going to do it multiplayer? Absolutely not. So hopefully, you know, single player is more than 10 hours. But I wasn't moved by the Black Ops 4 announcement like I was elated at the Division 2 announcement. So if that says anything about the games, it's...
Okay.
It's Call of Duty. Like, I don't feel like Call of Duty's done anything innovative in a while. And that to me is kind of, you know, like I mentioned before, the complacency. Put guns in a game, make some really good looking environments, have a riding mission, boom. Which one are we calling this one? Is this a Black Ops? Okay, great. Cool. And out the door, and it'll make money, and it'll have multiplayer, and it'll probably have some zombies, and everybody will be like, zombies! Which zombies is cool, but...
Zombies are... I like zombies.
Zombies, yeah, zombie mode is cool. Again, I'm not saying anything against it, it's just... Call of Duty very much feels like wash, repeat.
Mm-hmm. Don't you feel and that a lot of games eventually start kind of feeling that way?
I think that if creators aren't careful, yes. Through the Assassin's Creed games that I've played, right?
Mm-hmm.
Really, really, they haven't felt wash and repeat, really, if I'm honest, since probably Brotherhood, to be fair.
Okay. Nope, just curious.
You know, because between 1 and 2, I feel like there was a big shift. And even between Revelations and Brotherhood, you know, there was a little bit of wash and repeat, but not the exact, you know, we didn't have to go feather hunting.
Okay,
and the core mechanics are the same, but I feel like, so as an example, right, if you look at, let's take Saints Row. Saints Row should feel very wash and repeat.
Yes, I agree.
But it doesn't. Because 4 is absolutely bananas balls Jesus crazy different than 3. 3 is different than 2. Because an effort was paid to make the story, the players, quirky and different, new characters, so it doesn't feel wash and repeat. It's not the same characters doing the same thing. Like, outside of a couple of Call of Duty games, most people can't name a character in the Call of Duty games, because they're that throwaway. You're Sergeant so-and-so until you take a bullet in the head, and then you pick up the next messenger. Now you're, you know, Private First Class, blah, 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 and you're going to die falling off a carrier, and then you're going to pick up somebody. You know what I mean? So, right. So there isn't anything that allows me to or makes me want to make any kind of lasting connection to the characters in the game. It's really getting through the mechanics of the game, which is clear the level. You know, if you want to be super high level, yeah, just about every franchise is a wash and repeat of itself over and over and over again. But really, it is taking the time to make some things different. You know, like Advanced Warrior to me felt different than Blops, than, you know, some of the earlier Call of Duty games. You know, Assassin's Creed Unity tried really hard to be different and not wash and repeat from the previous Assassin's Creed games, and unfortunately suffered some game-breaking bugs that didn't allow that. You know, you look at the Far Cry series, okay?
Mm-hmm.
Far Cry 3, mad different than Far Cry 2. Far Cry 4, mad different than Far Cry 3. Far Cry Primal had woolly motherfucking mammoths. Mad different than the Far Crys that came before.
Yes.
So, you know, there is within franchise, I think, growth and definite opportunity for growth that you don't have to just... You don't have to just dust off the previous thing and do it again. Whereas, you know, for some franchises, they are wash and repeat. But frankly, that is also kind of their charm and what you need. Like think of God of War, right?
Thinking God of War, thinking.
Okay. God of War 4 is really going to be the first non-wash and repeat God of War outside of the PS top-down game.
Yes. You're right.
Right? Mm-hmm. The PSP one, I mean. Like, it is the first blatantly different game. In the first three games, Kratos is going after Greek gods. He's yep. blazing a path through all of Greek mythology to kill Zeus.
Yep. Yes, he is.
Okay, and as much as you want to say, like, anything's different, it's not. You're getting green orbs, you're banging bitches, you got chaos blades, you're mad at all the gods. Oh, yeah, and some of the titans, too. Fuck them. And it's only at the end of 3 where, you know, the stuff with Pandora happens and all the gods, Greek gods at least, are dead. And you're left to believe that, you know, Kratos died, but we all know that Kratos didn't die, because Kratos didn't die.
If he died, he resurrects. He's like this, he's like a game Jesus.
Well, he is a demigod. So, you know, this game, completely different. You're going to have a God of War game where you have an AI companion. It happens to be your son. That's completely different. So it's not a wash and repeat.
Right. True.
Very you know, true. So, I mean, you can even do the same thing if you want to talk about GTA, right? GTA was originally a top-down, way, way back in the day, car-boosting game with, you know, a little bit of shoot-em-up, top-down. Then everything changed with Nico Bellic.
Mm-hmm.
And then when we expected...
CJ wasn't really top. He was third person, right?
No. I'm saying it started with top, but where it really pivoted. Where the game really pivoted. Okay, because Vice City, it was starting, but the real pivot was...
Four.
Yeah. Where it became this whole other big universe thing. Because 4 was the first time that was like big universe.
4 was where I was like, oh, I'll buy this game. What? Because I didn't play GTA until 4.
Yeah, I played a little 3.
And then I was like, are all the games like this? And everyone's like, No,
they're not. And then, you know, 5 came out, and it feels like that's where Grand Theft Auto is stopping.
Ugh.
But it feels that way.
5 is so big. Five
is, like, so big, okay?
You and can like, do yoga
all right?
in and 5.
That's not even, you know, with the online. So, like, I don't know if GTA 6 ever happens.
It may not.
You know, and I feel like that's kind of what happened with Saints Row 4. Like, where do you go after this? We blew up the fucking planet. We took on aliens. Like, there's nothing left for the Saints to do.
True. Very true.
You know, so I, to your point, I do think that there are definitely, you know, franchises that became wash and repeat. And it's really hard to balance, okay, my core base loves these things. So if I don't give them these things, my core is going to be like, what the fuck are you doing? And they're not going to buy in. But I also need to put some new things in so that my core also at the same time, because we're fickle.
That's right.
It's just the same game, but you just put... It's the same game as the last one, but you put one new character in. Ooh, it's not worth $60.
I mean, I feel like for Rockstar to give us something that will feel reminiscent to... Well, yeah, but... And we're getting that. But I'm saying, like, because, like, that's going to drop maybe in 2019. I don't know. But I feel like we've seen them do great character study. That's mm-hmm. the thing that I think the biggest takeaway from GTA for me is that they are really great at capturing characters that you may not think could potentially work together at all. And somehow, through the weird mishaps of everything, they culminate in this weird system that works.
Yep.
But all of their characters have been dudes.
Truth.
So, for me...
Truth.
I feel like if mm-hmm. they could somehow, and I mean, I don't imagine that this will happen anytime soon, because writing women is hard. Especially if you have a penis.
So writing women well.
Right. Writing women that are not an object to be won, a object to abuse, and
or an object that constantly has to be saved.
Yeah. Like, if we could start writing women as people and not objects,
Lara Croft,
then I think, one, that'd be a nice step in the right direction. And I mean, if we could somehow get a strong female protagonist in this lifestyle that GTA likes to, I don't want to say glamorize, because they are really good at being like, this seems all great now, but shit's constantly hitting the fan.
Right, like, all the characters are imperfect. None of them are, right. You know, like, kingpin forever. So they do a really good job of balancing that, I agree.
So, I mean, I'd love to see them bring that aspect to a female character. But, I mean, at the same time, I could see how that would be kind of hard for their think groups to think about how they would write that, especially because, I mean...
But just be more women in gaming. You're available, I'm available.
That's very true. Very true.
I would be happy to brainstorm with people, okay? Y'all know how to get a hold of me. My Twitter and my Facebook ain't changed. Holler at your girl. I can help.
It's very true.
But like, it is serious. And I feel like we're getting, you know, smatterings and sprinklings of that. You know, the Campo Santo game that we were talking about.
Oh my god, that I cannot wait for.
You know, and indies are leading the way and bringing more good stories that feature diversity to the forefront, and I think we're going to see more of them. You know, I think that, you know, in all honesty, again, it's one of the reasons why I love Ubisoft so much, is that you're going to see it come out of Ubi's camp first, and then it's going to sprinkle through everybody else.
Yeah.
Because
you like the Johnny Appleseed. Like, right. You need fresh perspective. You need fresh perspective.
I have to give them credit where credit is due. They have been beating the diversity drum, but nobody's been paying attention.
True.
Touché. You know, between the Assassin's Creed China game, Liberation, which they really released both, and they're doing, I believe for China, they're doing a port for HD, so it's actually going to be a full, you know, the gorgeous looking Assassin's Creed game, you know, with a female Asian lead. Like, they've been beating the drum, okay? They're there. Sometimes a sidekick, but they're there. Okay, but there's more and more leading that is happening. There's more and more heroines, and the whole argument about, you know, dudes won't buy games if they gotta play as a chick is bull.
Because dudes are always playing as chicks all the time. Now, granted, it's because they want to stare at boobies and butts all day, but...
It doesn't matter. There are more female characters made in games where you can have character creation than women that are playing the games. It's not only women that are buying the Tomb Raider games. So I just want to... And that's been forever and a day. So I just want, like, that conversation to end, okay? Just because you make your lead character female does not mean that it's going to hurt your sales. You make a good game, your sales will be great. You make a shitty game with a shitty protagonist, your sales will be shit. That's how that works.
Yep.
That's just how that works. Okay, so with that being said, I'm excited about The Division 2. I'm less excited about Call of Duty Blops 4, but I'm going to play it because it's Call of Duty and I love me some Blops. So I'm going to be playing that. The last thing I want to bring up, just like kind of quickly, is I slept on Fortnite and I have to apologize.
I have not played Fortnite at all.
So I pretty much stayed away from Fortnite, and I stayed away from PUBG. And you're like, but you said you like shooters. I do, but what did I tell you about the multiplayer experience, right? So I typically stay away from those things. And PUBG, I wasn't really attracted to initially because it was a PC game, and I don't do a lot of PC gaming. When I game, I'm usually on my consoles, and when I say usually on my consoles, because I'm doing a little bit more mobile gaming these days, mostly because I was away from home and away from my setup. But I'm either on my consoles or I'm on my mobile. And if I'm on my consoles, 9 times out of 10, I'm on my Xbox before I'm on anything else. So when PUBG was first making its rounds, you know, it's a PC game. I was like, bruh, looks interesting, but it's not really my deal. It's not merely my shiz.
Right.
And then they made the announcement that it was coming out, you know, exclusively on the Xbox. And I was like, maybe I'll give it a shot. But I started watching some of the various community members play a Mixer in my Dash on my Xbox. And I just started to just, like, be less and less excited about it. So I never touched PUBG.
Okay.
When Fortnite started making the rounds in the news, I kind of liked the art style of the characters, you know, because they felt kind of that middle of the road, not quite a cartoon, but not quite real person.
Mm-hmm.
And I was interested in the mechanic of, you know, actually having to gather up resources to build a fort, basically, to fortify yourself, or if you're squatting up with people, your teams, in order to take out the enemy. It started to become, like, almost capture the flag-ish.
Mm-hmm.
And I
like that. It's like tower defense. It's kind of like Team Fortress?
Yeah. Yeah, it is. And I loved Team Fortress.
I didn't play it. Oh. My husband showed me a lot of those things on the internet that people have used their sprites to make funny things.
Yes.
I laugh at those. So, yeah, those are good.
You would enjoy Team Fortress. I was a little bit more intrigued, but I really wasn't going to bite hard because I was like, eh, it's still the community thing. And I end up being more disappointed than I am happy. But so many of my friends are playing it. My bestie's oldest son, like, sent me a message on Instagram and was like, do you Fortnite?
Do you?
And it was just a screenshot of
do you Eve?
Him winning. And I was like, I don't fucking play Eve.
You don't fucking
I'm never
play
letting
Eve.
That inside joke go, ever.
Never.
I'll be on my deathbed and my last class will be
word, Eve, like, you don't fucking play fucking Eve. Play Eve.
So I started to look into it a little bit more. I'm actually going to pick it up this week and start playing. And I'll probably end up playing with him a bunch, which will be fine because he'll school me so bad.
Sometimes it's a learning experience, bro.
Yeah. Yeah. But I'm looking forward to it because, you know, I've just been watching some YouTubers play and it just does seem like a lot of fun and it requires strategy and thinking ahead and not just put bullet in thing, which right. I like. You know, I think that's interesting. And then I saw an announcement this week, and I had to hit up a friend of ours who works for Epic and is doing the PR for the game, because Fortnite's coming to iOS.
Yes, I know.
And I was like, oh my god. And they've got crossplay across PC and PS4 right now, and they're adding crossplay with Xbox, which means I don't have to worry about whether you get it on one console and I have it on another, or any of my other friends have it on it will not be console specific. I'll just be able to play with my friends. Now, if that works in frickin' Battle Royale,
yeah.
I'm in.
I am excited for that. I'm really looking forward to seeing a lot more cross-platforming happening between consoles. Because, I mean, I feel like that's just an inevitable path that we are just going to, you know, walk into, because eventually it's all gonna be virtual reality, and we're all gonna be hooked up to
serious console war is over. Okay,
one happy family. Like, let's just
seriously, the cloud ends that, because the cloud now takes away the excuse of not being able to do it. Oh, I can't get my hardware to talk to their hardware. I use a different NIC than they use. We have different things for the net. No, the cloud takes all of that away as far as, you know, a physical reason why you can't do it. Cloud storage takes that all away. So really now it is just, do you actually want to open yourself up and let your players who bought your hardware play the games they want to play on your hardware? Because otherwise, if you don't and you restrict it, you're going to continue to force people to have to choose between instead of have all. Like, most of the gamers I know don't just have one console.
Nope. I got them all.
Okay, I got them all. Most people I know either have them all or they have two, and it's usually Nintendo and something else.
Well, I mean, I got them all, but I live the Pokemon life. Got them all. So,
you know, so anyway, I'm excited to see what's coming. At some point in time, I really am going to have to bite the bullet and get PSVR because I really do want to play Moss. I really do.
Really?
Yeah, it came out 2 weeks ago, and I really want to play it. Okay. And you know me, I'm not big on VR, but...
I know you're not. That's why I was like, are you sure?
I do.
Do you have a fever? Should I touch your forehead?
I want to help the little mouse. I want to help so much.
Okay.
So I do want to play that, so I'm probably going to have to finally suck it up. And get a PSVR set up.
I have to find a way to not get sick, and then I'll do it too.
Yeah, you gotta sit down. You gotta sit down. You can't stand up. You gotta sit down.
And
then you won't get sick.
Maybe. I don't know.
But that's it. That's all I'm gonna talk about this week. I got so many other things on my head, but I'm gonna talk about those things next week.
Okay. So now it's my turn.
It's your turn.
Great.
Ready,
I'm happy to hear that.
Go!
And that's the end of the show. Thanks, everybody. No, I'm just kidding. Just kidding. No. So, one of the biggest things that came out last week was Nintendo Direct that I think aired on the 8th of March. Our friend KBD was all over that, and I mean, I was listening in on some of what he was live tweeting about it, and... the stuff that people are, like, losing their shit over are stuff that we've been anticipating for a while now. So, once again, I sit on this throne of, guys, we already knew this. Like, if you've been paying attention, you knew. So, case in point. I love me Splatoon. We know I love me Splatoon. I've talked about Splatoon so much. All the time, Splatoon. My guy, Splatoon.
All
hey, did I mention Splatoon?
Squid so. Kid. I'm a squid. You're a squid. We're a squid.
I'm a squid. I got my first amiibo, and it was a squid kid.
Yep.
So yeah, like I was living that life, like living high in Splatoon, and then Splatoon 2.
I still have not played a Splatoon game.
Well, I mean, two is better. So anyway, everyone was like, "Oh yeah, Splatoon 2. Like it's gonna be the balls," and it was. So like, no surprise there. But everyone was like, "Oh man, like you know, in the story mode, which I think is like the most underrated aspect to Splatoon's period, is the story mode that people don't often play is actually far more enriched and interesting than you would actually expect to come out of you know
really?
A game where you're a squid." Yeah. So, like, there's this overlying or underlying schism between Squid Kids and Octo Kids. Or I'm trying to think what the actual name for them are. But in the story mode, you are learning how to use all the weapons, unless you just go straight into multiplayer mode and you just learn through, you know, being pwned. But you can go through the story mode and get access to the weapons that way. And most of the opponents that you are dealing with are... things that look like Squid Kids but are not Squid Kids, and they're Octo Kids. And you're like, that's kind of weird. Like, what's up with that? Like, no one's talking about it, and they're just your enemy, and you don't think anything of it. Well, now, from Nintendo Direct, one of the biggest things to come out was that we're getting Splatoon 2 Story Mode DLC, where you're playing as Octo Kids. Which, if you listen to any of the fan theories that came out with Splatoon and people who know how to, like, dig into code files for games, there was some hidden code where you could twerk it so that you could, in fact, be an Octo Kid. So it's kind of like, why would they put this in the code if it's not something that's an option? Oh, well, maybe because they're going to do it later. Stop ruining Christmas, kids. kind of mindset. But... apparently, they're going to delve into the story now of, like, what's the deal with Octo Kids. And Octo Kids are trying to break out and, you know, from the underground because they're being oppressed by something. And that's just my speculation. But they're pretty much going to tell us what we've been dying to know about, you know, these enemies in the story mode for a while now. And I think we're going to see some inclusion, which, you know, right on Nintendo. Happy to see that happen. Yeah. You know, so yay. But everyone was like, oh my God, yes! And I'm like, what? We knew this was coming, guys. Stop. Like, yay, happy it's finally happening now as opposed to later. But we knew it was coming. So, like, give me something else. So then, you know, on the heels of that, they mentioned that, you know, we're getting Smash Brothers, we're getting Smash Bros. On the Switch. Which then I was like, all right, my mind blown. Here's my money. I'm ready. Here it comes. Woohoo. And I have a better job now, so now I have to be like, I don't have to save 5 paychecks to get it.
Yeah.
I'll be able to do it, like, first week, which is not something I've ever been able to do in my life as an adult. But that's coming, and I think we're going to see a lot of these new characters in this new iteration of Smash Bros., which I'm happy for, because I'm kind of getting sick of Pokemon, which is really funny for me to say, since, you know, I live that Pokemon life. But, you know, it's neither here or there with that. But another thing that came out of the Nintendo Direct that I'm actually very happy and excited for is we are getting Undertale for the Switch, which I talked a lot about Undertale on Esh. And I didn't even play it. I watched my husband play it religiously. And I was so involved in everything that was happening in that. And I wanted to know more. And, you know, he's like, you know, you could play the game. I'm like, yeah, but you're already going through your fourth playthrough of it. So I don't have to go through all that. You did it for me, man. So, like, I'm just going to enjoy the ride in the passenger seat, you know. And I did that, but I feel now, with it coming to the Switch, because currently it was only available for PC, and I live the Mac life, so, and there was an AMAC version at first, and my computer is fairly old enough now at this point that I don't think it could comfortably run it. So now that I have a Switch and I'm not playing Stardew Valley all the damn day, I'll be able to put this new game on there, and I think I'll actually sit through and play Undertale for myself because of the platform. And I'll be able to bring it with me wherever I go, which I think for me, games like that, there's an appeal for me for games that I can take with me on, you know, tedious journeys where, you know, I have a chunk of time where I'm not doing anything productive, so I could completely immerse myself in a good narrative and maybe dodge some bullets in the meantime, you know? So I'm very excited for that. So, and those were the few things that came out of the Nintendo Direct that I was really kind of for. Like, I think they also mentioned, so we're still doing amiibo stuff, and I guess we're getting some Dark Souls amiibos, which,
yes.
I mean, I played Dark Souls, and I liked Dark Souls. Or rather, I played the fuck out of Demon Souls, and then I stopped after Dark Souls 2, I think. I didn't go into Dark Souls 3, and then I went back for Bloodborne. But I didn't finish Bloodborne, because, yeah, no.
I didn't get past the first level in Bloodborne, so
it took me forever. But the first one is really setting the stage for, you know, this game's not for people who don't like the idea of failure. Like, this game is really for that person who's like, you know what, I'm gonna fail a lot, and that's okay. So, like, you have to have a totally different mindset for those type of games, because I actually saw that there was an article, I want to say it was from Polygon, maybe, but somebody completed Bloodborne without taking a single hit. And I'm
I don't
how
even know how. I don't
how
know.
How the fuck?
That's
the
not.
Fuck what?
They're
the fuck
not
what?
A human. They're not human.
And I'm like, how he do that? How he do that? Because, like, literally in the first, like, level, you have no weapons and you have to, like, beat a wolf with your bare hands and not die. Or rather, they set it up so that you can not die, but...
Right, so you know, he did that.
He did that. First try.
Yeah.
Totally Batmaned it up. And I'm like, yeah, no. What? How? How you do that? I want to be that good. Can you teach me to be that
good? Get good, scrub. Get good.
Hey, I'm not bad. I am not bad, but I am definitely not that skilled.
I am not get through any game without taking a single hit.
Like, good. Guys, let's not do Like, we don't need to outrank everybody. You beat the game. And most people can't even look at that game without going, nope, too hard.
Yeah, I go nope. I say nope to Demon's Souls.
But kudos to that, like, dude, because I can't even imagine.
Kudos to everybody who plays those games and gets through them. But it's just a rage level that, you know, I like my controllers. I would like to
stay in one piece. I like my controllers.
I don't want to have to get new controllers. You know, I like my TV in one piece. I don't need a controller hanging through it. So
I'm actually very surprised I have not done this in my life yet.
I have destroyed a controller. I kicked myself afterwards, but I have destroyed a controller in rage.
See, I haven't. I drop shit all the time, but I'm just, you know, accident prone. Like living my best life, always breaking something. Broke and a mug yesterday, and I was like, yep, that's my life.
It was a Fallout game that did it, too.
Really?
Yeah.
I started Fallout 4 and never finished it.
I got mad pissed with the
Fallout. Do you remember which Fallout it was?
Three. It was three.
Wow.
Which is why I didn't play 4.
I bought 4, or rather, I was given 4 by my brother, my father-in-law, because he was like, this game is too much. It's like, no shit. No shit. You who loves Destiny? So no, you would
will,
not.
You
no.
will not see a Fallout game on my wall anytime too soon after that. It's the only time I've ever broken
it. I want to get into it, but...
And I thought that I was putting it down forcefully on my couch, and it slipped out of my hand and just missed the couch and went straight to the floor and just...
Oh.
Wide open.
Dang.
Yeah. Yeah. I immediately, like, piss-offedly took the game, created it at GameStop towards the purchase of a replacement controller. And I have not played a Fallout game since.
Wow.
Because I don't count Shelter. The Vault.
You really liked Shelter.
Yeah, I did like Shelter. I was playing it real hot and heavy there for a few months.
Oh, yeah, I know you were.
And then some other games popped up. So, you know, that happens. I do think that, you know, again, I haven't played Splatoon. I probably ought to fix that.
Like, all the things that you hate about first-person multiplayer games... You don't have in Splatoon because you can't talk to anybody, so no one's smack talking.
Right.
You know, and I mean, it's cute and it's colorful, and I actually feel like all the mechanics of the games that you like to play but you don't because you get harassed all the time are strongly built in Splatoon.
Yeah.
So you'd only get better in that type of game by playing it. And then when you went back into the harder core games or the, you know, AAA-ish games... I feel like more people would probably have less to say because one, you know, I'm not saying that you have shitty skill. I'm not the best at them. And I know that I play better now that I've played Splatoon and then gone back.
I am not pro league by any stretch of the imagination. I just enjoy playing shooters.
So, like, I have definitely seen a difference in my ability going from Splatoon and then going back into, like, a COD or a, you know, or any of that. So... It might just be that, you know, you have a better environment or a safe space in which you can learn to get good.
Yeah.
Without constantly being told, no, you bad, stop.
Right.
Go make me a sandwich. You know, kind of thing. So.
Sandwich. Okay, so I kind of want to blurs of a feather for a hot second.
Sure.
Before we wrap this guy up. But, you know, we're getting ready to go into PAX East, and then right behind it, you're going to have E3. GDC's going down.
It's going down.
Yeah.
Me
that's still one conference that I really would like to go to. Maybe next year, once I get through all this stuff with this house, I might put an effort into doing GDC. But, because I'd like to do it at least once.
Like, one time.
Yeah.
Just one time.
It's like South by Southwest. I'd like to go, like, once. It's like once. But maybe the main reason I want to go to GDC is because women in games do so many different things there that I really would like to be involved in some of that stuff. But those two shows are coming, which means the rumor mill should start spinning up pretty soon about announcements, you know, for a holiday and things we'd like to see. So just kind of wish list games I'd like. Top three.
Mm-hmm.
So Microsoft's been really, really quiet for a while in regards to Gears of War.
That is true, now that you say that.
I'm really ready for another Gears game. More so than a Halo game.
Yeah, me too.
Especially after Spellbound got shit-canned. I really kind of need that. So that's one.
Okay, one.
My next desired, like, a lot, is I would like a new Devil May Cry game, and I would like my Dante back, and not brooding fucking metrosexual Dante.
I didn't play.
You didn't play DMC? Yeah, no. You really didn't miss out on anything. So I would really like that. Like, a lot. And then finally, and this is just, you know, me talking shit.
Okay.
But I do feel like kind of overdue, like by a long shot. I know it's not going to happen, but I really would like another BioShock game. Like, I really would.
I definitely don't think
I know that's not going to happen. Like, that's not going to happen. I'm just saying, my wish list.
Right.
Okay, because Crackdown 3 is coming, so I don't have to, like, put that on the wish list. Okay? But, like, seriously, I need a new Gears name, and I need my Dante back. And it would be nice to have another BioShock game, because, motherfucker, if Infinite wasn't the best. That's all I'm saying.
I'm not gonna get that one.
But, like, the other two are possible. So I'm just putting the vibe out there. Cause I need it. What about you? What's your three? What's your list?
You know, when I really think about it, like, well, I mean, we're gonna get Detroit. So I definitely wanted, like, another...
Yeah, we're getting Detroit.
So,
oh, I can't wait to play that.
So there's that. But I mean, like, I kind of want another Fable game.
Oh, like, man. Wouldn't another good Fable... Like, could you imagine?
It would be good.
Now? It'd be so good. That'd be hot.
Like, I haven't... Yeah, that would be the big one. The big one for me would be a new Fable game.
Mm-hmm. Yep. I'm with you on that.
Yeah. And another Until Dawn game.
Yeah. Like,
I know you didn't play it, but I did. But I mean, like...
I watched you play some of it. We did that.
Yeah.
And I made it.
It's really not as scary as you think it is, sis.
In the light... If you play it in the light.
Like, it's really not... It's not bad.
No, it's not the scare. It's, look, we've been through this. It's not the scare. I hate fucking jump scares.
So?
I hate what they do to my body. I don't like it.
You should like what it does to your body. Because when the real threat happens, you will respond appropriately.
No. Because what it does to my body is it makes me almost fart. And I don't like it.
Yeah, but if you fart, you could scare your predators away.
No, I alert them to where I am. You're thinking about it the wrong way, sis.
No, I'm not. I'm thinking like, of it the right way. And I'm like,
ah! Oh, she's over there. And that's how I die. I don't need that on my tombstone.
Oh, you know how funny that would be?
No,
you're in the line for heaven. Like, how'd you die? Well, I was being accosted by demonic forces.
And
someone said boo, farted. And I farted, and they found me, and then they drained my entrails out.
Literally, I'd be, like, trying to, like, tap dance around what happened, and the guy behind me would be like, she farted and gave away her location, and they killed her.
She's been farting in this line this whole time. I knew how she died.
I knew how she died.
I knew. So.
It's all new.
Yeah. I wonder what would give me away. Like, what would be, how would I get caught and then murdered?
You would clumsily move or something that would make a big noise.
Yeah, but that happens in every horror game at some point. So, like, then I'd probably hide in a locker and be like, ha, no one sees me now. And then they'd be like, I heard you, bitch.
Exactly.
Exactly. It got me that way.
Some dumb thing like that. You'd have, like, the perfect hiding space that no one would actually find you if you would just shut up.
Shut my damn mouth.
About how you found this great hiding place.
Like, guys, I'm in the best spot. They won't find me here.
Exactly. That's how it would happen.
Yeah, that's about right.
All right, so, Fable, Until Dawn.
Yeah, Fable, Until Dawn. And, yeah, I think those are really kind of it for me. Fable's the big one. If I could get a Fable tomorrow, I would be a happy little clam.
You know what would be super dope? And I'm going to end on that. I would love another Team Ico game.
See, I haven't played any. So I don't have...
your life.
I don't have any of the nostalgia for that. I didn't play it.
Did you not play...
I didn't play Shadow of the Colossus. I didn't play Ico.
You didn't play Shadow of the Colossus?
No. And I know there's a new port for PS4, so I really don't have an excuse now.
True.
But my husband's like, no, you should play it authentically. So that you could appreciate where it now sits. And I'm like,
it would be good to play Ico. And I believe that there's a remaster for Ico on PlayStation.
So
didn't you play Last Guardian?
Yes, I played Last Guardian. And I was excited
Last Guardian?
No.
You gotta do that today.
No, I didn't finish it.
Yeah, you gotta finish Last Guardian.
I got to a point where,
that one will both break and melt your heart.
I think I got to a point where, like, the kitty bird ate me another time and I got more story. And then I was like, I don't like where this is going. I don't like how it seems like he keeps trying to eat me. And then eventually he will not throw me back up. that won't be the end of the story, but it's just kind of like, can you stop eating me now?
It's a plot mover.
Yeah, sure it is.
That's a good list from Lords of a Feather, I gotta say. I think that we covered the gamut there of the things that are needed.
I agree.
Definitely needed in the world. So that's it for this week's episode. I hope that you enjoyed it. Please make sure that you subscribe to our podcast, which you can do either by going to our website, electricsisterhood.com, and subscribing to our feed and seeing the posts when we put it out every week. Or you can get our podcast through iTunes, either on the desktop or through the podcast application on your iOS device by searching for the Eshcast or Electric Sisterhood and subscribing. We do appreciate all the subscribes and the reviews that you guys leave for us on iTunes. So feel free to leave some more if you want to. We love reading them for sure. And if you're not leading the iOS device life, then you can get our podcast through the Google Play Store. You can get it through vognetwork.com as well as some other great shows over there as well that we highly recommend that you check out. Like I said, on our website, and pretty much all the podcast aggregators out there on the planet carry our show. So please make sure that you subscribe any way you like and listen as we put out new episodes every week. You can definitely check out on our site all of the great content that we come up with. And it is a team effort, so please, please, please bookmark our site. But check out our news, our reviews, previews, and pretty much our editorials on what's going on in the world that we're enjoying. Follow us on social. We're on Instagram, at ESH News, Twitter, at ESH News, Facebook, Land of Esh. We're really easy to find. We love hearing from you guys, so if there's a game or anime or manga that you want us to check out, please make sure that you hit us up, drop us a line, and be like, I would love for you guys to do like 20 minutes on blur 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 blur, and we'll probably do like a solid 2 minutes on blur 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 blur, and then like 10 minutes of filler, because that's what we do. But we will still give you a shout out if we take you up on your suggestion or answer your question, and we appreciate them all. if you enjoy what we do here on the Eshcast and on our website, then please make sure that you check out all the other great content creators that are part of our network. And that starts with our homie KBD over at b3crew.com, talking about anime, manga, independent music, video games. If it's nerdy in any kind of way, KBD is definitely covering it, and has the fantastic No Borders, No Race podcast that's available in iTunes as well. So please make sure that you check out his site and his podcast and all of the other crazy stuff that he's doing. He's going to be covering Anime Boston this year for us, so make sure that you check out his coverage. It's going to be bananas. On Wednesday, our homie HamsterMan2049 streams live on Twitch a bunch of different games, and even does some on YouTube sometimes, which is cool, including board games, which I think is amazing. But definitely make sure that you check out his stream. You can get the link on our Facebook page about an hour before he goes live, so please make sure that you check it out. Jump on the stream, join him in chat. He plays everything from new games to old school and retro and more. So definitely make sure that you check that out. One of my favorite humans on the planet, Phil the Issues Guy, with Phil's Recap and Review. You can check out the site, issuesprogram.com. You can check out his show on YouTube. It is absolutely fantastic. It's probably my favorite recap show on the planet. Definitely make sure that you give him a watch. I'm not even a fan of Walking Dead, but I like his recaps. So make sure that you check out Phil's Recap and Review, subscribe on YouTube, and check out his site, issuesprogram.com. And last but certainly not least, rounding out the fam for sure, is nerdcrave.com, keeping you up to date with all the stuff that nerds crave. So whether it's comic books or anime, manga or video games, if it's nerdy, they are talking about it over at nerdcrave.com. So please make sure you check out all of our sites, that you check out all the content that we're creating, the shows that we're going to, all that good stuff. Our live streams, the Let's Plays, we got a YouTube, probably going to have Twitch here, shroom. It's gonna be ridiculous. So please, 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 keep in touch, like us, love us, share us, help us become no longer the best kept secret on the internet. And with that, I'm Ninja Sista.
And I'm Pandalicious.
And we are out.
Titties.